You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Henshaw and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
We're happy. We're so very happy. We're celebrating around here because we are the winners of Red Carpet Awards Show in Holland, Europe, and Fair Play Country Music Awards. Best Native American Style, Amazing Female Artist, all a gift from God, and we are grateful. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and we are celebrating today. And we thank Adam H. for their generosity in helping to make this show and this series possible. So we love good news around here, and we're happy, and we're thankful, and we're grateful for this wonderful blessing of awards and accolades. And we're grateful for the guest we have today, a gem. Will you please introduce yourself to us?
Yahweh Tuet Eskenahe. My name is Denise Walters, and I'm so glad to be on your show. And before I say anything else, I want to congratulate you for your Red Carpet Award. I have always enjoyed listening to your show, and the award is so well-deserved.
Thank you so much. We're very honored to have you here with us. And tell us about what you do in Indian Country.
Well, I do a lot of things. So let me just kind of give you a brief resume first, and then I'll get into a little bit more about the specifics in Indian Country.
Perfect.
A pharmaceutical scientist. I have a background in chemistry, pharmaceutical sciences, and I've been working in over-the-counter drug development for about 30 years now. But what is my real passion is my service to the tribe. I am the current tribal council chair for the Nottoway Indian Tribe of Virginia. I also am the vice chair of the Science Museum of Virginia Board of Trustees, and I'm the past chair of the Science Museum liaison for the Virginia section of the American Chemical Society. And what I really love doing is my story quilts, where I create quilts that tell a story, and most of them focus on my Nottoway history and culture.
You're fantastic, and you're also a fabulous relative and friend. I love your life. I do. You do a lot of great things, and I hope somebody thanked you for doing all of them, and in case they haven't, thank you.
Thank you, Don. Yes, there have been a number of people who thanked me, and I must say that you have also been one of my role models for the many, many years that we've known each other.
Oh, wow. Well, may you always be blessed, because you've always been so kind to me. You're doing so many great things, and I can't wait to talk about them all. And you said the word science. And in the world we live in today, I feel like we can't have an actual scientist with us and not say something about the importance and value and trustworthiness of science, especially during this pandemic. Any thoughts?
Oh, yeah. This pandemic is a huge challenge, not just for us in Indian Country, but for the entire planet.
Mm-hmm.
And I am just overwhelmed by the fact that people aren't listening to the scientists.
Unbelievable.
And basically just kind of doing whatever and not thinking about the long-term implications for themselves, their individual families, their communities. And then they act surprised when they come down with this disease that's putting multiple people in the hospital, either with many of them having long-term effects or dying when they could have avoided it by a combination of both getting the vaccines and just using precautionary things like wearing a mask. You know, people in the medical field do this every day when they go
every
work.
Day.
And we're doing this before they were in a pandemic. They were wearing masks when they were in hospital settings, working with patients, doing surgery, et cetera. So this is not new.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand why this is hard for our communities when this can be the difference between life and death.
Wow. Well said. I don't want to ambush you, but are you willing to talk about this a little bit more?
Sure, I can talk about it a little bit more.
Because it's important. It's really important. It's a matter of life or death. So I just want to ask you right now, are vaccines safe?
Oh, I definitely believe that vaccines are safe. Now, of course, there's always something that could happen with any kind of a product. So what I told my parents when my mom and dad asked me is, every day that you make a decision is a risk-benefit decision. Whether
mm-hmm.
you get in your car and drive to work and you're going to have an accident is a risk-benefit decision.
Mm-hmm.
So when you take any kind of a medicine, it's the same thing. That medication or that vaccine could help you out, but there is a possibility that you could have some type of a side effect. So what is the risk of a side effect? And what is the potential if you don't take the medication? And so that's what I look at every day when I'm deciding for myself as an individual, what am I going to take and feel comfortable taking? And for me, I got the vaccine right away as soon as I possibly could because I personally felt that the risk of dying from COVID-19 far outweighed any risk of getting the vaccine.
Thank you for sharing that with us. I think that's important. You know, Indian country has done a great job. Native America is highly vaccinated. And I truly believe it's because we think tribally. We love our elders. We love our children. We think, we don't just think about ourselves as individuals. We think about preserving our lives. But also because this isn't the first pandemic that has threatened us, is it? I mean, we have a history of this. That's why there's not more of us, right?
Right. In fact, you know, one of the things that really kept sticking in my mind when they started talking about this pandemic was that here in the state of Virginia, 75% of the native population was completely decimated in the early days by smallpox.
Oh, wow. 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 It matters. And your tribe has taken some real leadership on this, right?
Yes. In fact, I'm really excited because we had to make the hard decision to cancel our tribe's powwow.
Oh.
And it was breaking because we were expecting this to be one of the biggest and best powwows we'd ever had. We were lined up to have 5 drums.
Oh.
We were all these people together, the community was really excited about it, and our powwow is in a very rural community where bringing that powwow really helps bring business to that underserved area.
Mm-hmm.
So we were making a difference in that community, and we had lined up to do a mobile vaccination clinic, and we were going to have Virginia Museum have a mobile art unit there, and there was going to be a library bringing a bookmobile. So we had this huge fantastic.
Aww.
But then the COVID-19 numbers were so incredibly high, and I spent weeks watching the numbers, researching everything, and when I was appointed tribal council chair, the first thing they said is, one person is making the call, and that's you.
Wow.
And I felt the weight of that decision so heavily on my shoulders, it was a struggle. And after I looked at all of the data, I shared the data, I called every tribal council person and said, I want us to be of one mind on this. Tribal council needs to be aligned because it has big implications either way. And we decided that looking at the vaccination rate in a local community, within the Native community, understanding the unique laws in Virginia and how we would not be able to enforce masking, and also some of the radical behaviors sometimes of people in the community regarding masking, that we just felt like there was way too much risk to our tribe and our community to move forward with the powwow as is. However, we also felt that the vaccination clinic was critical. So what we did is we didn't cancel that. We moved that to our tribal center in Capron, Virginia, so people in the community will still be able to get vaccinated in one of those more rural, underserved areas.
I congratulate you on becoming a new tribal council chair, and I'm so thankful because what you just described is true leadership. And I thank you for showing us such a fine example of true leadership. My granddaddy used to say that love has arms and legs. It's not just what you say, it's what you do. And I feel that you really led out of love for all of us by making that tough decision. Well, we all love a good powwow. Now what?
So what? Now what is we're still going to have a good powwow.
Yay!
It'll be a digital powwow.
Awesome.
And we decided that we were going to use Facebook Live as our platform. We're going to have it on September the 18th from 12 o'clock to 5 p.m. And it's going to be called Beyond Powwow. Because you go to your usual powwow and, you know, you watch the dances and you hear the songs and maybe, you know, some flute music or a storyteller and some drum competition. And, you know, we're going to have some elements of all of those types of things that you have in your standard powwow. But we're also going to talk about our history. And we have, for instance, a historian who's worked with us for a number of years, and he's going to talk a little bit about our tribal history. And he was one of the folks that was instrumental in getting my cousin's old home site designated as the first Iroquoian state-recognized historical site in the state of Virginia. And that happened back in 2019, so we're going to have him, you know, come and talk a little bit about that kind of thing. And we're going to feature some of the artwork from our tribal artisans and show the show that I just curated earlier this year. We'll have some video just to see a little bit of the artwork that was in that show. We have some celebrity shout-outs and some music from some bands, both more nationally acclaimed as well as locally. We're going to have some spots where we'll do some interviews with people. So it's going to be a real mix of things and hopefully something that people will find not only entertaining but educational, because that's one of the key values that we have as a tribe is the importance of, you know, family and culture and education.
That is beyond beautiful. I love it. You know, my granddaddy also used to say that God plays chess while everyone else is playing checkers. And I think some of this technology, social media, all these things, they were just put in place for such a time as this, so that we could use them, so that we would have them when we needed them so desperately during the pandemic. And so I love the idea that you're unconquered, that you are not going to let a pandemic stop you, but you're also going to protect people from catching COVID by having this digital event. What do you hope this will do? What do you hope having a digital powwow will do for your tribe, but also for all of us who participate?
Well, there are a number of things. The first thing that comes to mind is for those of us who are the leaders in the tribe who are putting this together, it is a wonderful yet somewhat frustrating learning opportunity because, yes. You know, all of this technology is, you know, a bit overwhelming if you don't use it on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And you may call into a Zoom meeting, for instance, but did you have to put together the Zoom meeting? Did you
That's
have to
right.
figure mm-hmm. run things in the background? Did you have to put together, you know, a slideshow and figure out how to attach audio to it or visual to it? There's an opportunity for each person who's participating within our tribe to up their game and learn some new skills that they may be able to apply somewhere else in their workplace or in helping us as a tribe. And even within our tribe, you know, we started going to Zoom meetings with the pandemic, which for us was new and has been a real help in terms of participation and engagement, because before, if we were going to have a meeting, it was in person, and that meant people had to get in their cars, and some would be living right there on the old reservation land, but some people were coming, you know, from as far as many states away.
Wow.
Fly in for meetings. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was a lot of travel, and, you know, bringing that digital to us helped us to reach a broader audience. So I think being able to do this digital powwow will help us to reach a broader audience. The other thing I think that it will do is it will help us to be able to reach people in a more in-depth way, because our history and our stories, you might get a little bit of that if you walked over and, you know, went to the history booth and talked to some people. But, for instance, not everybody gets to hear from, you know, a local college professor who's been studying our history and all the historical documents. Or, you know, you may not get to hear specifically from the chief and hear her tell her stories, because she's going in so many directions at the powwow that, you know, she gets a chance to kind of say hi and happy that you're here, but you don't get that one-on-one quality time with our chief that you will get by being able to watch the presentation. And then the last thing that I see that's really an advantage is once we put this stuff together, we can have a recording of it so that we've got it captured, so that we don't just share for a few minutes on one day, but we have the opportunity to keep sharing that information and reach a broader audience.
I love it. I love it that, you know, what the enemy meant for evil, God is using for good to bring all of us together. We have friends who listen internationally who may not be as familiar with your tribe or where you are or who you are. And I would be so honored if you would take a few minutes and tell us about the Nodaway.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Our tribe is located in the southern part of Virginia, close to the North Carolina-Virginia border. And we are one of three southern Iroquoian-speaking tribes in that area. That's the Nodaway, the Meharon, and the Tuscarora. There used to be an old alliance between the three many, many years ago, and we were, you know, one of those tribes that they first connected with when the Europeans got here. You always hear them talk about the Powhatan tribes, and they did reach them first, but then as they started to explore out, William Byrd went into the areas that were more in what is now southern Virginia, and started to meet up with the Nodaway people. And we really considered ourselves traders and intermediaries. Mm. And so the Tuscarora were our more fierce cousins south of us, and they got involved in a lot of battles. But we tried to kind of be the intermediary that would manage some of the trade or try and have a political solution, or, you know, trying to find a way to work with both sides. And I think that's been a long-standing approach of how Nodaway not a way people approach things, is trying to figure out how do we work together to find a path forward. And as I said, we are one of the Iroquoian-speaking tribes. People were speaking our traditional language until about the 1850s, and we only had three native speakers who were alive at that period of time, one of whom was Chief Edie Turner, whose traditional name was Wane Runthra. And once those speakers died, no one was speaking the language anymore. However, Thomas Jefferson and some other linguistics professors did record some of the language, so we do have a word list that was recorded, and my son is leading an initiative now to try and develop and reintroduce the language to the tribe, which is why I started out with greeting you in Nodaway.
I really appreciate you giving us that insight into your beautiful people. And I want to say something about language because you're mentioning it. And I think a lot of folks don't understand how precious and rare and endangered and often alive also our languages are. So what does the Nodaway language mean to you personally?
The language means a connection not only to our history and our culture and our ceremony, but it's a window to the original mindset.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, in our traditional language, the key central focus of everything is the verb. It's the action. And then everything else is about the relationship. And I think that says so much about who we are as a people and a culture, because
mm-hmm.
what's important to us is action and relationship.
That's magnificent. I mean, that is so well said. Thank you. And I think our languages are so important to us also because we don't compartmentalize as tribal people. Our languages are how we think and our worldview and our relationships and our ancestors and our descendants and our legacy and our thoughts and prayers and ceremonies and our interaction with the water and the animals and the earth and all of it can be contained in simply the way that you introduce yourself or the name that you carry or the fact that, like in our language, there's no word for I. All those relationships are in every subject and verb. And so that is so important to us. And I'm so thankful that your tribe is pushing forward when it comes to language. But there are other things, traditions, culture, that make our tribes and nations distinctive. What are some of the Nodaway traditions and culture that are important?
So I think, again, that I stated one of the things that's so important to us is education
mm-hmm.
and learning. And we don't see things as everything has to be the mindset that we had hundreds of years ago. But
mm-hmm.
how do you take those beautiful cultural elements? And as I was talking about learning the technology and everything, how do we learn everything that we can and be able to operate in today's context, taking advantage of all educational opportunities, but then be able to translate that into, you know, how do we show up in the broader community? How do we show up and do our jobs? How do we show up for the tribe? So, for instance, I'll take the science piece. One of my passions is where do the intersection of culture and science exist?
Hmm.
And we are the ultimate scientist from way, way back. If you look
yes.
at developing all of the different seeds and cultivating the plant, if you look at the traditional medicines, if you look at the traditional dyeing processes, we were understanding the biology and the chemistry, and the Europeans completely ignored that whole base of historical knowledge. natural dyes, and she does beautiful, beautiful work. She shows her work at a Native American art and fashion show on a regular basis, but she came and did a two-day workshop with our tribe on natural dyeing, and we had a ball because she would talk about the traditional and historical context, and she would talk about what time of year you would normally do each piece of the work, and mm-hmm. she would talk about how that related to the seasons and the calendar, and as she's telling us that kind of thing, and we're working through starting to prepare things, like she would say, okay, first you starch your fabric and you boil your fabric, and she said, the water turns kind of brown. I wonder why that is. And I said, oh, the water is turning brown because the fabric has starch in it. And when it is heating up, you not only have the starch coming out into the water because it's more soluble in the water than it is, you know, stuck to that fabric, but then there's a chemical reaction that's called a browning reaction. And that reaction is why the water is turning brown. And she said, oh, that's really, you know, nice to know. And we talked about how we ought to do some kind of a combination class at some point in time where she's talking about the traditional piece, but then I'm also talking about the chemical reaction that explains what you're seeing happen.
Definitely.
So I love the fact that we can bring together that knowledge that can be taken from the dominant society and put that together with our old historical traditional knowledge to give a fuller understanding of the world that the Creator gave us.
Marvelous. Truly marvelous. We have to take a commercial break, but when we come back, we're going to bask in your wisdom some more, because I love everything that you're sharing with us, and I'm so thankful that you're here. So, everybody stay right there. Big thanks to Adam H. for making this show, well, this whole series, possible for us. And we'll be right back with more.
TalkTainmentRadio.com is the premier internet radio platform offering 40-plus talk radio-style programs professionally produced, optimized for online distribution, featuring Columbus, Ohio on-air personalities. TalkTainmentRadio.com offers listeners diverse programming options covering topics such as arts and culture, love, life and relationships, technology, religion, paranormal activities, local and national politics, women's issues, alongside health and wellness. Listeners can access their favorite TalkTainmentRadio.com programs free of cost through the website. Download the TTR app to your cell phone and you can take us wherever you go. We have programs on demand to fit your schedule through our podcast. The address is TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Oil and gasoline prices are going through the roof.
Tell me about it. I can't afford to drive to the grocery store.
We've reached the tipping point, so I'm going to give you some tips that could save you hundreds of dollars a year on gas.
Tipping point? I've reached my clipping point. I feel like Ellen Scissorhands clipping all those coupons.
Tip number one, keep your tires properly inflated. You could save enough money to buy a gallon of orange juice every month.
Can do.
Tip number two, driving 60 instead of 70 on highways and not racing around town can buy you bacon and eggs every day.
Wow!
Tip number three, cut the idling, lower the AC, and ditch the junk in the trunk. That could buy you bread and butter, and maybe some grits.
You mean by driving smarter, I can eat breakfast free for a year? Wow!
For more wow tips for your pocketbook and the planet, go to the Alliance to Save Energy's website, drivesmarterchallenge.org.
Can I substitute a prune Danish for the grits?
Do you overcook your pasta? Do you mix your lights with your darks and tell long, complicated jokes that have no punchline? Do you have trouble wrapping gifts? Sound like a hyena when singing happy birthday and have no idea how the metric system works? Well, if you answered yes to any of the above questions, you may have what it takes to adopt a teen from foster care, because teens don't need perfection, they need you. So if you can't tie a Windsor knot, forget to defrost the chicken, can't tell a latte from a cappuccino, confuse North and South Dakota, overuse commas, throw a frisbee like it's a flounder, and still believe kids really do love lima beans, broccoli, and Brussels sprouts, it's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. For more information on how you can adopt, call 1-888-200-4005 or go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year. And a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run without scissors,
it's the least you can do.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years... Smokey's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair? Or...
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun. 911, what is your emergency? Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are, but I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life. Talk to your doctor about creating a plan that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
I love this show, and I love this guest, and I love everyone who listens to this show. And so I'll ask our guest, would you please introduce yourself to us once again?
Certainly. My name is Denise Lowe Walters, and I'm the Tribal Council Chair for the Nottoway Indian Tribe of Virginia.
Thank you for being here with us to share all of your wisdom and insight and perspective. I love everything that you're sharing with us because you're blending modernity with our traditions, and that is a magnificent thing to do. When you think about your own art, the quilts that you make, the way in which you use textiles and your skills, will you tell us about that, please?
Certainly. The quilt art, I'll start out with it being a true gift from the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
I started out making quilts many years ago as a project at work because we had a group that made baby quilts for at-risk babies in a program called ABC Quilts. And I realized that I really liked designing my own quilts.
Oh.
And I started out with the standard, you know, geometric pattern type things. And also making some quilts at for them to give away at powwows or raffle at powwows and that kind of thing. But then one day, many years ago, I was going through some emotional struggles with family things that were going on.
Mm-hmm.
And between family and work, I felt like I was in a complete meltdown. And I woke up one day with this vision of me with my arms stretched out going, God, help me. I cannot do this anymore.
Mm.
I need help. And I decided all of a sudden, as I was thinking about this, that I wanted to capture that feeling in a quilt. And I immediately went to my quilt room and I started getting out fabrics. And I said, well, this looks like a pattern that could be a background. And, oh, this looks like the sky. And within a number of hours, by the end of the day, I had made this little quilt with me with my arms stretched out in regalia, holding my hands up to God, and I called the quilt, Lord, hear my prayer.
Amen.
And I felt relieved, and I felt like that, you know, struggle and that emotional turmoil I was going through, I felt like I had expressed it artistically, and I felt like I had some peace. And then the next time I got that same feeling, I was thinking about the creation story and the tree that was in the garden in Sky World. And I was thinking about how in the Christian tradition that you have that tree that was that tree of knowledge in that Garden of Eden and those similarities. And I started to just envision the tree with all these different colors in the night sky with the 13 moons around it that are our calendar, and I decided to make it as a quilt. And I usually don't see round quilts, but I did it as a round quilt because our worldview is a round worldview. It's the cycle. It's the continuation of nature and change. So that's what I wanted to put into that quilt. And after I made those two quilts, then I showed them to the chief of my tribe, and she said, oh, those are story quilts. You have to do more.
Mm.
And I said, really? And the next thing I know, she says, we're doing a art show in South Carolina, and I want you to let me use those quilts for show. Okay. And I, you know, give her some quilts, and then she says, oh, and by the way, we're going to do a sale. I need you to make some more so that we can sell some of them. Okay.
Oh, I love elders.
Pushes me hard, but, you know, and it was just a continuous thing. Then she'd call and say, hey, they're going to do an art show at University of North Carolina, Pembroke, and, you know, we'd like you to put a quilt or two in that show. And I said, okay. And the next thing you know, she tells me about another one in Norfolk, Virginia. And then the latest one she told me about was at Jamestown. They have an exhibit called Focused, and that just went up earlier this year. That'll be up until March of next year, and I have three quilts in an exhibit there.
Well, congratulations, and I'm so thankful that you answered the call. I believe God calls us all the time. And some people answer and some people don't. And so I appreciate your faithfulness. I think that one of the things I really, that resonates with me about your quilts is that you are hearing from God and that you are connecting your spirituality with something tangible that we can see. And so how important is spirituality to you as a part of your life?
Spirituality is what holds me together. People ask me how I do all these things, and you heard kind of the litany of things that I went through at the beginning of the show, and I left some things off because I felt like I would focus on the things that I thought were most pertinent. I do a lot of things, and the reason I'm capable of doing them is because of my faith in the Creator, the gifts that the Creator brings, and the people that the Creator brings into my sphere of influence. And I'll use an example, for instance, and you were a key example. When we started to try and figure out how we were going to put this powwow together digitally, we were trying to figure out all the content. And one of the things I did is I started calling all my friends and saying, hey, can you help us out? And, you know, we've got dancers that said, yeah, you know, we'll do a dance upload even though we're not really good at this, but we'll figure it out.
Wow. Yeah, right.
Figure it out even though this isn't their expertise. And then I sent you a message and you said, yeah, I've got some friends. I'll make some calls and, you know, we'll get some people to help you out. And I'm just overwhelmed by the outflowing of love and support that we're getting from folks through, you know, knowing you and your connections. And that's one of the things that has allowed me to do all these things, because the Creator makes the connections. And then I feel like I just follow through on the connections and the task and the opportunities that the Creator provides every day.
Well, I say this all the time on this show. I have the best friends in the world. I do. And my granddaddy used to say that you're welcome in this family, but if you're going to be part of this family, you better be pretty or you better be useful. And he was teasing, of course, but my friends, oh, they will, at a moment's notice, they will jump in there with their time, their talent, and so many times, I mean, you know, you have helped this show. You have helped us to stay on the air. You've helped us to do what we do. And so I just believe that's a big part of our tribal perspective, is that it's about others, folks, you know, our time, our talent, our gifts, our enthusiasm, our willingness to work. That's all to be put together in community. And I really believe that the reason why so many people are bored, just discouraged, just life is kind of blah or whatever, is because they're not answering the call and they're not using the gifts and talents. And they're not using them in community, because when we do all of that, oh, it gives our life so much more meaning. Even the mundane tasks are better if we all do them together, and especially something like this powwow. We are just really thankful that you're here and sharing your example, your shining light with us. And I want to make sure that if there are other things on your heart that you want us to know about you or you want to share with us, that we do that.
I want to tie into that word that you used, community, because that's another one of those things that's a key value of the Nottoway people. And we see our tribe as a community and family, and then we also reach out to the broader community in the area. And our tribal center that's in Capron, Virginia, is on the corner of Main and Route 58, and it's on the old traditional reservation land. And we call it the Community House and Interpretive Center. And the reason we've called it that is, one, we have a museum in the bottom that is an interpretive center that has our history and our story. It's called From Buffer to Barter to Be, and talks about our history from the early days, even talking about some of the old 10,000-year-old artifacts found in the area all the way up to what we're doing today. But then we also have a space that we use upstairs for not only meetings, but teaching workshops to the Native community and to the broader community. And I've had the opportunity for a number of years to lead the workshop program. And some of those classes we've taught ourselves. Some of those classes we brought in other people from the Native community all up and down the East Coast. So we've done things like beading, twining, fan making, regalia making, jewelry, traditional songs, traditional dance, drums, you know, all that kind of thing. We teach some of those, and some of the lessons are specifically only for tribal citizens, but we also teach a number of different things that we open up to the broader community and have them come in. And it's so beautiful to see people come together. Like, we had the state archaeologist come in last year, or a year before, and we asked people to bring artifacts from the area that they wanted identified. And we had a handful of things that were part of our collection that we didn't have a lot of ID on, and so he helped us to identify those, and we put the descriptions there with the pieces. But in addition, we had all of these people who lived in the area, and they bought things that they had found in the local river, and especially those times where you get a big rainstorm and it would just wash stuff down, and he was doing identification for them. And in a number of cases, they gifted those pieces to us as a tribe. So it was a wonderful thing to do. The other thing that was interesting is you find out how related and connected people are in the community, and you start talking about, say, family history, and we had a genealogy workshop, and you start to realize that not only are all the folks in the Native community very much connected to each other as family, but even some of the people who are not Native, we're still, those are our cousins, because this person married this person. You know, Southampton County is, a lot of people know that genealogy going back for, you know, 200-300 years. Yeah, we're really all cousins, and I think when you start realizing that we are all related, that instead of fighting with each other or segmenting things to say us and them, if you take the approach of we, then we are all more successful. And I think that's a big thing that we do as Nottoway people, is we try and take the approach of we. And how do we move our people forward? And then how do we also help the entire community move forward?
I love that, and I'm thrilled that you think that way. And I think we can even broaden that a little bit to all of Native America. I think sometimes folks are a little hard on the Southeast tribes and the East Coast tribes, you know, that there are people who don't consider us to meet the phenotypical stereotypes or what, you know, folks like to consider as Native American culture. But we all need each other. We're all Native. The Creator loves all of us and I really believe that unity is our strength. And so, since you are the tribal chair of an East Coast tribe or a Southeastern tribe, what do the Nodaway offer to the rest of Turtle Island?
I believe that the Nodaway offer love, family, community, and an example of how, as you were saying, we may not phenotypically be 100% Native, but we are in our heart and our spirit and our way of thinking and our way of doing things 100% Native. And I think one of the things that our world and our community in the United States really misses out on is that spirituality, that long-term view of what our impact is going to be on the next seven generations, and how we need to take care of our people and our land and our water. And I think our Nodaway people have been working very hard and been very successful in some of those areas, and hopefully will continue to be more successful in all of those areas and support the community. And again, I think also that thing that you talked about is we being unified within Native America. You know very well that from our days when we were both living in Ohio, that Tecumseh was one of my heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because he was bringing Native people together to work for a common cause. And can you imagine if all Native people on Turtle Island worked together to support our people and the land and the water and the environment, and to enact those changes that we need to make this culture in Turtle Island, all of Turtle Island, all people recognize some of those things that the Creator told us, that we somehow have lost those instructions. I think Nodaway people can help with that.
I believe you can. I know you can. And I know that you already are. You're bringing us all together in Beyond Powwow. And I want to make sure we tell folks again how they can be part of that great unity.
Our powwow is going to be on Facebook Live, and you can get to it by going to the Nodaway Indian Tribe of Virginia official Facebook page. Please make sure it says official so you can tell you're at the right place. And on there, you will see a event link, and you can go to that event link where we will have our powwow listed. We will also have a hashtag Beyond Powwow that will get added so that you can look for that and you'll see some content that way. Also, if you go to our tribe's website, there's a link to that, nodawayindian.org, and that will also have some information about our 2021 powwow. And I think that's mainly how you would get to everything. We're hoping that we can record some things, and stay tuned and keep watching because we have more things to come in the works. So just a little teaser.
That's beautiful. That's wonderful. One great thing about the internet is nothing ever goes away. And so even Facebook Live recordings, you know, can stay on the page and be accessed for time to come. And so this is a wonderful thing that you're doing. And thank you for coming out of your comfort zone and all of us working together. And, you know, everything is going to be a blessing. I truly believe that. There are people right now who I truly believe are inspired to know more about your tribe, perhaps participate in some of the events that are open to the public. Who knows? Maybe even relatives coming home and reconnecting. How do they connect with the Nodaway?
The best way to connect is through our Facebook page, because that's where we put the most timely events. If we're going to do, for instance, a workshop that's open to the community, we usually have a notice that's on there with the instructions, whether it's a live in person, it'll just have the date and the time and the instructions. If it's an online, yeah, we would have the Eventbrite with the link or something like that. That's the best way to get in touch with us because we put that information out there.
Thank you so much for all you are doing for Native America, for all of us, for your own tribe. I congratulate you on ascending to this leadership position. And I thank you. I thank you for all the love that you have shown to me and the kindness you've shown to me. And I thank you for the blessing that you are to my life. You've been a partner with the work that I've tried to do from the beginning. You know, I mean, you've helped to sponsor this show. You've helped to sponsor some of our outreaches that we've had to the community and the reservation here to give out clothes and food and backpacks and school supplies. And there are times when your donations made things possible. And so I want to thank you so much for being a great partner of the work that we are trying to do and all of the things that you are doing to bring glory to God and uplift other people. I'm so grateful for you.
Thank you, Don. Every time I talk to you, you get me all teared up.
And then I'll tease you later, so you'll laugh.
I'm so little, and I still be doing more.
Well, I know this. I know that what you are doing is changing lives. It's bringing people closer to God. And that is really all any of us are here to do. I truly believe that God gives every person something to do that will show the world around them how good God is. And when God gave you things to do, you have done them with excellence and with grace, and you bring glory to God. And that's really all that matters. And you're having fun doing it.
That's true.
And that matters too.
I'm having a good time, and I will say what my cousin always says every time we get together, and I ask him how he's doing. My cousin always says, "I'm thankful."
Yeah.
And so I am thankful for you. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my Nottoway people, and I'm thankful for the broader Native community. Because I feel like I am very much who I am because of the people who surround me, who came before me, and those ancestors who are reaching at and leading me on, and the Creator who's giving me direction. So I'm thankful for all of these things. And I guess if I gave a traditional greeting of how thankful I am, it would take an hour because I'd have to list everything. So I guess it's not the time for the Thanksgiving address.
Well, I think if we walk around as thankful people with thankful hearts, that's more than enough, really and truly. So I appreciate you joining us here today. I know our friends who are listening have learned so much from you and are truly looking forward to the next time you come back and visit with us again. We love you, and we love everyone who listens to this show. And I hope someone said this to you already today, but just in case they haven't, I want to tell every person under the sound of my voice that God loves you, the Creator loves you, and we, all of us here, we do too. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I can't wait till we're together next time.
Come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray all. They pray all. And never look back once the world forgave you.
got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.